What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Inkfully podcast. Listen, we are going to jump right in today because this show is jam-packed with goodness. I'm telling you right now, if you are a mother, if you are an expecting mama, you got one of those corona babies on the way, or maybe you're at the tail end right now, may the health and strength of Jesus be with you, okay? If you are an auntie, uncle, cousin, brother, it does not matter who you are, this episode is going to be one that you want to share with those in your life who are new moms, expecting moms, or mothers who have young toddlers, because we're going to really be unpacking maternal mental health awareness. That is exactly what the month of May is actually about. We are bringing awareness to maternal mental health, and that includes postpartum depression, postpartum anxiety, and we're going to unpack it all today. We're answering questions like, how do you even know if you have postpartum depression? What are the risk factors? What are the signs? What are some of the myths or lies that we believe as mothers that keep us from getting the help that we need? And most importantly, what are some steps that we can take today to help us heal and to help us on our mental health journey as mothers? No matter where you find yourself on the spectrum of your health journey, you could feel like you're tracking along just fine, or you could feel like you're drowning, you could feel like you're completely alone. Please listen in, and I just encourage you to share this with a friend who is in that season, because trust me, you're going to want to save this one, okay? So my guest for you today is Dr. Angel Monfort. That's Angel to me, Dr. Monfort to you, which you will hear very much so on this call. Angel is a mother of four, and she is a licensed psychologist. She's always gravitated toward treating women and became passionate about trauma treatment while working in the residential program for survivors of military sexual trauma. However, several years and two more kids later, she fell in love with the specialty area of perinatal mental health. At first, it was a way to meet the needs of her patients, and it quickly led to an understanding of her own postpartum experiences, which led to so much personal healing. She is on a mission to validate and uplift moms who are struggling through a time that is expected to be the most joyous. She believes that if we make space for both the highs and lows of motherhood, we will set new moms up for a more balanced experience. So I am so excited for you to listen in on the conversation between Angel and I. Get ready to take notes, y'all. I'm telling you, it's going to be a good one. Listen in. Angel, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
So glad you're joining me today. So a little backstory, Angel and I know each other from UF, right? From University of Florida. We both are Gators. Go Gators. Mm-hmm. It's been a long time.
Gators, yes.
So you did your undergrad there. Did you also do your master's and doctoral program there as well?
I did not. I did my, after I got my undergraduate degree there, I actually moved to New Jersey and did my graduate degree at Rutgers.
Okay.
That's right. I did a combined program with my master's and my doctorate together.
Got you. Okay. How long did it take from essentially undergrad all the way to your doctoral program to kind of go through the whole jazz?
All in all, it took about 11 years. Wait, is that right? Let me see. Yeah. To go from beginning of college to completely done with the doctorate. And I guess as we'll probably get into some little breaks here and there.
Yes.
It ended up, taking about 11 years.
That is amazing. Well done. Good and faithful servant. That is just incredible.
Thank you.
No, it really is. So, okay. So I just want to jump in to get things started. First of all, Angel, you are a mother of four mm-hmm. beautiful children. And what are their ages?
They are 10, 9, 4, and soon to be 3.
10, 9, 4, and 3. So you have a bit of a range there. That's pretty cool. And then you have three girls and one boy, right? Your boy is in the center,
right.
In the middle.
He's my third. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about, share with us kind of your story. Tell us a little bit about who you are and your journey to motherhood.
So as we mentioned, I was at University of Florida. I met my husband. Well, I started dating him close to the end of that time. And then when I moved to New Jersey to start with my doctoral program, I had some pretty significant medical stuff that was going on. So I took a break and I came home to Florida, which was supposed to just be for a semester and then head back. Mm-hmm. While I was there, I ended up getting pregnant with my first daughter.
Yeah.
And so for me, that was it was unexpected, but it also kind of brought up a lot in terms of just how am I going to navigate the rest of this and how am I going to finish school? But, you know, my, at the time, boyfriend, it was like, well, he's down here, he's doing school, I'm up there. And so figuring all of that out, things just kind of became very hectic, which I wasn't really used to so much. So we did end up, we got it together, we got back up north. It took a little bit longer. So I think I ended up being out for closer to 3 semesters. And then by the time we were ready to start looking at coming back up north, I find out I'm pregnant with my second daughter. So this was, I was about 3 months, my daughter was 3 months old. And I remember because I was nursing her and all of a sudden I was just so hungry. And so I got up and made a full meal. I remember it was chicken marsala. I made this full meal. I ate like a platter of it felt like. And then I was like, oh, I'm still hungry. Oh, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. I'm like, no way. And it was, of course. And so, but then by then it was like, no, I am determined. I've got to get back to school. We returned back up to restart school when I was maybe 7 or 8 months along. No, maybe 6 or 7 months along with my second.
Got you. Okay.
So that's when we came back in to start school. And it just so happened that I turned in my finals like December 10th. And then she was born December 12th. And so it was like perfect Christmas break. I kind of had her and it was like, okay, time to get back to school in the spring.
Yeah. What? So I mean, just thinking of, I know it's like, you know, it's so funny how we like sum things up as moms and then we're like, yeah, so I just did that. And, you know, and then, yeah, boop, she was here. It's like, I know there were days where you were like, I can't make it. I can't do it.
It was hard. New Jersey was a tough place to live just because we didn't have any family there. We didn't have any friends there. Being sort of from Florida, it was cold, you know, and it was gray and just harder to navigate. So that was a very, very tough time then. And I think some of the way that you could ask kind of how did I get to this place?
Yeah.
At the time I didn't realize, but I was struggling a lot with adjusting to being a mother and when it was kind of unexpected and I had sort of assumed, I had my own plans, of course, that I'm not going to have children. I liked taking naps and me time and all these things. And I saw that, you know, having a kid might change some of that. I think I'm just going to be a really good auntie.
Girl,
I'm
yes,
amazing
right?
at that. And, you know, maybe if I were to have children, it would be another 10 or 12 years down the line or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so this was kind of it threw me for a loop and it was harder to adjust, I think, because I was so far removed from support and many major transitions happening at once.
Yeah.
These were at the time, I didn't realize that these are risk factors for developing maybe some postpartum depression or just having a hard time.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was hard. I cannot say that I think, and that's another thing we do as moms. We're just like, yeah, I did that. It was okay.
And I got through it. I pulled
it. It's a reflex. Yeah. And then sometimes I catch myself doing that, but no, it was rough.
Right. I'm glad you said that. And, you know, there's some things that you shared that we're definitely going to get into today because knowing some of the risk factors, knowing some of the signs, you know, knowing some of the symptoms, because I think as a new mom, for one, there's probably a lot of things that are going on. You're not even sure whether this is normal to feel this way, either towards your child or about yourself or, you know, about your future. So so as a perinatal mental health counselor, can you explain to us what exactly that focuses on, that specialty?
Yes. So I focus a lot on perinatal mood and anxiety disorders, or you might hear them called PMADs. So these are the mental health conditions that might develop during pregnancy or within the year after delivery.
Right.
So I think, you know, what we commonly hear about are the baby blues, which they're sort of mild depressive symptoms and maybe some anxiety that's very commonly experienced. Maybe like 80% of moms experience that.
Yeah.
But they'll kind of remit after 2 to 3 weeks postpartum.
Okay.
And you'll start to sort of feel more like your normal self and that's fine. And that it's run its course. What when I see clients in my practice, usually it's because it's gone beyond that. And now we're in a place where maybe they're experiencing some very, very distressing symptoms that are lasting longer than those 2 to 3 weeks, and they're starting to impact their functioning. So it could be that it's perinatal or postpartum depression mm-hmm. or anxiety. They may be noticing some OCD symptoms that are coming up. Mm-hmm. They may have had a traumatic birth and now they're noticing some postpartum PTSD mm-hmm. symptoms. Yeah. And so that's kind of what I focus on. I focus on those disorders. Of course, there are more. There's postpartum bipolar disorder that might present there. And of course, psychosis that we hear about. Yeah. Those are more of the stories we hear about in the news that are
right.
a lot less frequent. But they, we sort of remember them more because of usually the news coverage that those kinds of stories get.
Yeah. So when you hear, so when we do hear these, like, yeah, these crazy stories about moms, like losing it or snapping or, you know, these unfortunate crazy stories, is that, you said it's psychosis. Is it usually because their depression or anxiety is untreated, or is it just a whole nother, you know, is that just a whole nother ball game?
That's a great question. It's a whole nother ball game for the most part. That's kind of a simplistic way to say it. But it is, it's very different. If you have postpartum depression or anxiety and it's not treated, it's going to be very tough on you. And it's possible that it could at some point veer over into that territory. But usually what we see with something like postpartum psychosis is that you've got these other risk factors. Maybe a history of bipolar disorder is a risk factor sometimes mm-hmm. for developing psychosis afterward. But yeah, it's very different. It's really a state where you've lost connection with reality and you're experiencing okay. these hallucinations and these delusions about yeah. your baby that you don't realize are, but you don't realize that they're hallucinations and delusions.
Right. Usually.
So it's something like OCD. And if you have thoughts about harm coming to your baby, you're upset about that and you're mm-hmm. scared about that and you don't yeah. want that. So maybe, you know, you're paying extra attention or you're doing different things. You're engaging in these compulsions to try and ward off something bad happening. Yeah. Whereas with postpartum psychosis, a lot of times the mom is not quite aware that what she's experiencing is out of connection with reality.
Got it. Okay.
So then it kind of veers into that place where we start to get really concerned and we yeah. maybe then take other measures to get her help right away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Moving on to some more, I don't want to say more common cases, but, you know, just talking about some of the things that moms might be experiencing where, you know, they have this new baby, you know, that you have a new baby and you're not sure if this is a symptom or not sure if this is a risk factor. Can you talk about, first of all, can you talk about some of those risk factors? I know you brought it up even in your own story, like, what are some of the things that what might be an indicator that you have a higher chance of even experiencing that postpartum, you know, depression, anxiety, or other, you know, things as it relates to that?
Yeah. So experiencing certainly mental health conditions prior to being pregnant can be a risk factor. If you've had a history of depression or anxiety, if you have a family history even of yeah. those kinds of things, mental health concerns, that can be a risk factor. If you're someone who, and I remember this one surprising me when I went through the training, but if you're someone who has very significant mood reactions to hormone changes, so if you have, you know, really severe mood changes around your cycle or around yeah. being on hormonal birth control, if you notice that that impacts your mood a lot, then you might be that's a risk factor because of so many significant hormonal changes that occur right after, during pregnancy, and then right after delivery too.
Right.
So that frequent transitions. So if you've had some significant, like, you know, as I mentioned, we moved, we picked up everything and moved during the middle of the pregnancy. And then going back to school was a big transition. So if you're changing jobs or yep. if you're even something like you're remodeling your whole house, so you're moving from this house to another house. Those are, you know, huge transitions that can bring a lot of stress on their own. So right. if they're happening in this period as well, it can make you a little bit more vulnerable to yeah. experiencing that stuff. Whether your pregnancy was planned or unplanned can be right. a risk factor, depending on how that affects you. Perfectionism is a big one too. So if you're somebody who has been maybe very high achieving, maybe somebody who prides yourself on being able to create structure and reach your goals and be very efficient. As we know, that can, there's a kind of a thin line between that being helpful and that veering over into perfectionism. And so if you're someone who's right there, this can also, that can also be a risk factor, because your expectations of yourself are very, very high, maybe sometimes unrealistically high.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that when you're, if you're not able to meet them after the fact as a mom, it can really have a significant impact on your mood.
Yeah.
Certainly having a difficult pregnancy, mm-hmm. or delivery, or trouble with breastfeeding, complications with that, those things too can kind of contribute to the onset after you've had the baby, or even late onset, maybe after a year. Some right. of those kinds of stressors around that, your support group is huge.
Yeah, you let's know. Talk about, like, if you have, if you don't have family support around you, or your family is unsupportive of your pregnancy or things of that nature, are those things that also can be risk factors?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Your support system, whether or not that's strong, whether or not you feel able to ask them for help and support is also, yeah. You know, part of it. Whether you have your village, you know, we talk a lot about how it takes a village, and if you don't have that, or let's say that you do have certain people in your life who you thought might be there, and yeah. they're not, or they're not able to step up in the way that you had assumed,
ooh,
or
child,
you figured
mm-hmm.
that they would, mm-hmm. then those expectations too, that's hurtful. And it kind of takes, but at the same time, you may not have the time to process it in the way that you need to, because you know, you're dealing with a newborn. Or you're in the middle of a pregnancy and you're doing all of these things. So sometimes that's happening kind of in the background almost, and we don't quite notice how that's affecting us.
Yeah, I think that is really important. A lot of what you said, I'm like making tick marks in my own mind, because I think that there were a couple pregnancies, you know, I have three, where, yeah, I can definitely have checked a lot of those. Like, we transitioned from Austin to Seattle. I found out I was pregnant. My son got diagnosed with autism. You know, my my family was, you know, in Florida, and I was all the way on the other coast, the West Coast. No one could come when I was pregnant or when I first had the baby. And I remember my midwife asking me questions like, yeah, so who's going to be there to support you, you know, once the baby comes? I'm like, oh, I have my husband. And she's like, who's going to be there to support you all? Like, and she kept saying it as if like, and I just kept wondering, like, why does she keep overemphasizing this? Like, we'll figure it out. Well, you know, people will come over and bring food, or, but not even having those, you know, those family connections, those like village tethers that are more like a deeper connection, you know, really it had an impact on me in ways that I didn't even realize. Cause you know, it's not necessarily like my role as a mother, especially with my first, I hadn't seen myself as a mother yet. Right. So I didn't realize how much I wouldn't even need my own mom. You know, I'm like, oh wait, I'm having like maternal desires for my own mother while I'm trying to become a mother. And then that distance was there. So that also created some, you know, the awareness isn't there yet, though, I feel like, when you're a new mom, because you don't even know what to look for or what to expect. So I'm really glad that you went through, you know, some of those risks. So let's talk about symptoms. Like, what are some of the things that are showing signs of, hey, I'm not doing so well? Like, what's the difference between I'm just a new mom and I'm just tired and exhausted from, you know, sleep deprivation versus, oh, okay, you're showing some signs and it's more than that?
That's also a really good question, and one that I think sometimes gets lost with the screenings that we do. Let's say on our 6-week checkup, they ask us a lot of these questions, yep. mm-hmm. But maybe we don't really catch that this is something different. So if you're looking at postpartum, let's say depression, because that one is the one that we hear about most commonly.
Sure.
Yes, you're going to have some sadness. Maybe you are finding yourself crying more often than normal. You're feeling overwhelmed. You're feeling irritable. Those are things you could also experience with the baby blues. But if it is truly a depression and something that we need to be looking at treating or just kind of getting some support around, you're going to notice that these things are making it hard. These symptoms are making it hard for you to care for yourself or to care for the baby. It's making it hard to get out of bed, and not just because I'm tired, but because I am overwhelmed by this feeling of sadness, let's say, or this guilt, this excessively blaming myself for things that aren't my fault, for, losing interest in things that I would normally be really excited about.
Yeah.
And in some ways, losing parts of myself. I know one of the things that prompted me to take the training was that the women I would encounter who were struggling with postpartum depression would say that I just don't feel like myself. This is not me. And it's bothering me a lot because that's a very unnerving. I mean, to be one person your whole life and then sort of feel all of a sudden like I'm this very, very different person.
Yeah.
In terms of my mood. So that not being able to sleep when the baby sleeps, so you're sleep deprived, but you still can't sleep. Mm-hmm. That's something we see a little bit more maybe with postpartum anxiety.
But
just like it's keeping me up at night. And now it's interfering with my functioning. And it's very, it's more severe. It just has this kind of way of lingering, I guess you could say, certainly longer, but it's also just more intense than what you would experience with the baby blues.
I think it's such a fine line. I feel like where it's like, I don't know. Do you see in your practice or just from, you know, do you feel like moms sometimes are in denial about it or is it more of a lack of awareness?
I think it can be, it's both. It really is, I think, a combination of both because sometimes we don't know. I mean, there are less common symptoms too, like maybe feeling rageful, feeling more angry than you've ever felt, feeling, having like panic attacks. So there are symptoms that we might not be associating with it. So some of it might just be, well, I didn't know. I've always been told that moms are tired. So I didn't realize that, you know, me being this tired is a problem. And it is such a fine line. Sometimes it is a little bit confusing. Yeah. I think it's a lot to try to decipher on your own.
Right. That part.
You know, while you're trying to raise this baby and while you're trying to do all of that stuff. So plus if you haven't struggled with depression before, you might feel that doesn't make sense. You know, I'm happy about having a baby.
Yeah.
I like my baby. And so maybe that's not me. So there's a little bit sometimes of denial there too, that if I'm grateful for having this baby, let's say my baby's happy, healthy, maybe I also am then in denial that, so how could I be depressed? No, that can't be it. And so I may talk myself out of it.
Right. No, that's so good because that's actually something that I had a misconception about. I thought that, it only has to be tied to how you're feeling towards your baby. So I don't like, for some reason you're having this guilt association of like, and I know that that's also happens from friends and things I've heard where you just like, all of a sudden you have this baby who you've been praying for, you've been believing for, you've been hoping for, you know, but outside of that, in my own experience, it was like, well, I love my baby. I love cuddling them. I love nursing them, all that, but I'm still feeling down. So I always was like, it can't be that because it's not towards the baby. So I'm glad that you said that.
Exactly. Yeah. And one of the things too, since you were bringing that up too, is that a lot of times if we're looking at a postpartum depression, then yes, you've got the sadness, but it's very pervasive. There's really very rare moments when you feel joyful or you feel happy. It's hard to access that because the sadness is so overwhelming.
Okay.
So that's another way that I forgot to say that is kind of that's there. And just like anything else, postpartum depression, perinatal mood and anxiety disorders, they're on a spectrum. So you might be experiencing it. You might be experiencing it kind of mildly or moderately versus severe where you're just completely unable to function or you're having thoughts about hurting yourself or you're not feeling connected to baby at all. Those things do happen, but they don't necessarily happen with everyone. But it's kind of like going back to what you and I talked about, the cases that we hear about more in the news and the ones that are kind of like easier to remember connected with this are those very severe cases. So then if I'm not experiencing it as severely, I might think, I can say for me too, I thought, well, then that just is me. It's just me being bad at this, or it's just me not really being a natural at this. And that's what's happening. And then that just feeds into that already, that symptom of having excessive guilt, blaming yourself for things. You just kind of turn it on yourself as opposed to sometimes there's a relief in knowing, oh, this is a thing. This has a name. This is something that I can get help with as opposed to, well, I'm just not so good at this mothering thing.
Right. And I think that I feel like it should be more stated. I'm sure if I can remember correctly, they do state that, you know, it'd be healthy to just have a counselor or have a, you know, someone you can speak to as you begin your journey, even as you begin your pregnancy. But I wish it was overemphasized that like, whether or not you end up having mom blues or postpartum anything, it's just really good to get someone in place from the beginning so that you can remain healthy, so that you can ask these questions, because trying to, like you said, trying to figure it out on your own while you're dealing with sleep deprivation and, you know, motherhood and wherever you are on the journey, you know, is very challenging. Like, who has time to find that person afterward? You know what I mean? Once with all the crazy going on, you know? Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes even if you have the wherewithal to think to yourself, maybe something's not right. Yeah. There's also a lot of different pressures out there that would suggest that, well, even though I know I'm struggling, maybe I can't say, I don't feel comfortable saying that, or I don't feel comfortable admitting that.
Let's unpack that. Let's unpack that. I was actually going to bring that up next. What are some of the stigmas that we like face around motherhood from our perceptions of maybe what we saw in our mothers or what we see in society or what's portrayed on social media that can kind of keep us from accessing the help that we need?
I would say there's, if I had to pick maybe a primary one, I think this notion that we should snap back as soon as humanly possible in a number of ways, you know, emotionally we should snap right back. Mm-hmm. But, you know, physically, certainly, of course, as well, there's a lot of pressure and expectations. I don't think that it's purposeful, but just even if you just are scrolling on Instagram, you'll see a lot of kind of, okay, mom is 9 months pregnant, and then in the next, you know, side by side kind of screenshot, she's got the baby, face is beat, hair is laid, she's looking amazing. And it looks like, oh, that's what it should look like. That's what the transition should look like. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the note that you naturally would take in your mind. And so it's hard to, and at the same time, we talked about the identity piece, which is so important.
Yeah.
That there's this sense that I can have a baby and go on with my life as it was. I can go back to work in, you know, 6 weeks. I can, and not even that, I'm at home. And I remember when I had my son, my husband was in JAG school to be with the Army. And so he was away. And he was able to be there for just the first few days. But then after that, it was me. I'm in car line with my two bigger girls. And, you know, my baby's 6 days old.
I'm just shaking my
head. These are
like,
things that we that we do. It's kind of, our country is a little bit behind in terms of the way that we rally around new moms. And so we're right back into it. Cooking dinner, we're in the car line, we're back to work pretty soon after that. And in some ways, it's almost like a badge of honor, kind of how quickly I can just have this baby and keep it moving and continue to stay, you know, keep up with my friends and to keep up with my fitness and these other things in my life. And I can sort of make it look easy.
Yeah.
And having some postpartum depression or anxiety, OCD, that doesn't make it look easy. That makes it look like, oh, I'm struggling a lot with this.
Right. Yep.
And so it's kind of the opposite of snapping back. It's the opposite of...
And,
in some ways, being capable.
And I feel like, you know, everyone's narrative is different, right? For some, that could be more in line with, I mean, I think all moms in some sense of different degrees, like you said, it's a spectrum of how deeply it's impacting you. But I feel like that there's a couple of things you mentioned paint a picture of like, this needs to happen quickly or else I'm failing or I'm not doing well or I'm not as, you know, capable of a mother. Like, obviously there's something broken or wrong with me because my body, you know, we're concerned about the wrong thing, or at least the prioritizations are off, right? So you're getting, I feel like, caught up in narratives that are not healthy for both our mental, you know, our mental health, our physical health, you know, and to be honest with you, there's a line that I think I said this on an earlier podcast where, you know, one of Beyonce's songs, she's like, strong enough to bear the children, then get back to business. And I remember hearing that. And at first, like when I first heard it, of course we all, you know, Queen Bee, hail Queen Bee. And I was like, yes, like get back to business. But I'm like, that's actually low key toxic, you know, like to say like, in terms of like the female empowerment part of it, because I know we have to get back to life in some ways, but life is different now. And actually, obviously that song was written like, I think when right after she had Blue or something. And now I feel like her whole view of motherhood has shifted. And I remember her putting out the Homecoming like movie or documentary on Netflix and her saying like, when she did the Homecoming whole performance, like she's like, I'll never put that type of stress on myself again in terms of like how it affected her as a mom and trying to like get all this weight off and like get this show out. And like, she's like, literally I was burning out and running on fumes and she missed her babies. And like, I just really hope there's more and more of a shift in society to not be like, yes, girl, snap back. You better get out there and, you know, live your best life and launch that business and da da da. And it's like, but you have this beautiful child who, you know, yes to continuing to pursue the things you love, but also where's your priority? What matters most in this season? And I feel like that would be really good if we talked more about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think like with anything else, there are those moms, like you said, who let's say that, you know, if fitness, personal fitness is maybe something that is of great value to you and it's something that you have an affinity for that brings you joy or that is helpful and healing to you, then snapping back physically may be something that happens pretty naturally for you or something that you enjoy and that may be very healthy in your development post-baby. Right. And then there are going to be other women for who that's not necessarily the case. And same with, you know, connecting with friends. You might be that person who really is energized from being around your friends and being on every Zoom call, and every, you know, group text and all of those things. And if that's the case, then maybe that's going to be helpful for you, but maybe it's also not. And so there's these two sides of all of these things that we're talking about. And it's so important to recognize that that's not going to be the same for everyone. But it's not really, it's usually not our first go-to to display our vulnerability and our weakness and to say, well, this is the thing that I'm struggling with or that it hasn't been an easy transition for me. Mm-hmm. Realistically, though, it's such a, you know, the 9 months of pregnancy, the baby, if you've experienced loss before, infertility before, this is very complex. And so, of course, it's going to change you in some way. And that's okay. That's kind of my mantra for things is, and that's okay. And that's okay. That's not going to destroy you. It's not going to define you. But it's just that's something that happened. And I can acknowledge maybe this is an area I'm struggling with. And maybe there's another area that I'm doing really, really well in.
Right, right.
But that it's that feeling that I have to hide it or that I have to feel shame about it that often makes the other symptoms worse.
Right, yeah. That's a really good point. Did you ever feel like your perception of what, I think I mentioned this too, is some of the stigmas, like, did you ever feel like what you saw other mothers that came before you, whether it was an aunt or your own mom, how you felt they were carrying the load, did that impact how you thought you were supposed to perform as a mother?
Yes. Yes. A lot. And I think, you know, we look at the mothers who have come before us as our examples. Those are the examples we're closest to. We have the most information about the way that they mother because we're right there.
Right.
And so for me, my mother is very, she's very accomplished. She's very good at, she was in the military. And so she did, you know, working full time, dealing with us, always providing, you know, handmade hair bows and things like that. She was just on top of it.
She's cooking meals every night.
Yes. And so I think, I know for me, I assumed those are the things that I need to do. Those are things I probably should be doing for my children. And so there was a lot of pressure to make sure that I can try to do it as well as she did and as well as some of the other women in my life have done. But even now, sometimes I have to remind myself that our realities are a little bit different. You know, we're coming up in two different time periods. There are different stressors here that weren't there and different stressors there that maybe are not here. But yeah, I think that that's a big piece of what we expect from ourselves is what we saw there. And it may be the other way too. So we talked about that spectrum. It may be that the example that you have has taught you what you do not want to be in a mother. And so those expectations, what if I'm doing some of the things that I swore I would never do? That too comes in, but it's all kind of this, as we talk about it too, I'm realizing how connected all these different things are and they're all happening at one time. So it's a lot to sort through.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's so many, and that's why, again, having professional health counseling is so important because there's so many things that we bring in. Like I'm sitting here thinking about, you know, the, like you talked about perfection, feeling like, you know, I have to do this perfectly or my child will suffer. Even as they get older, you know, we think we have to have the right, they have to hit all the milestones by the certain age. We're comparing, mm-hmm. you know, when's your child start walking? Mm-hmm. When's your child start, you know, eating solids or reading? Or it keeps going and going, you know, until you recognize, like, eventually they all kind of catch. I mean, again, there's obviously developmental things that can happen along the way you want to be cognizant of. But I feel like there's this, I don't know, like that's one, another thing. I'm just thinking about the varying degrees of mm-hmm. myths that we come mm-hmm. in believing, you know. Another one is like, you know, how many children you have, right? And how much your struggle should be based off of the number of children or where your expertise should be. Like my friends with one, I hear them say, oh, I only have one, so I know I can't compare it to, I know it's not as crazy as what you're going through. And it's like, no, don't invalidate, you know, your experience. Right. Can you speak to that?
Right. Yeah. I think that you're right. That's huge. If you, we do that a lot to one another, but we also do it to ourselves, right? Yeah. Or even on the other side of that spectrum, well, I have four kids. I should know that.
Right.
I should understand this by now, or this shouldn't be a surprise to me by now. Mm-hmm. But realistically, we're all doing the best that we can with what we have right now in front of us.
Facts.
And we do have these perceptions about how things, quote unquote, should be happening. It's like we're putting these finite rules on our reality that don't actually, they're not actually grounded in anything.
Yeah.
And so that's another thing that I think is helpful to sort through, is to ask yourself the why after that. So I should know this. I should be doing this. Okay, why? You know, where is that coming from? Why is it that I should be doing that? Is that because someone else who I look up to does that?
Yep.
And if so, how does my situation compare with theirs? Am I judging that on a realistic standard or not? Is this because I'm wondering how I'm going to look as a mom? Mm-hmm. If I do it this way or if I don't do it that way? But really kind of getting into the hard questions about why I'm holding myself to a certain standard. And if it's something that I'm holding myself to that standard because it's true value that I have of mine, that if nobody else was watching me and, you know, I could just do what is in my heart, then I would do that. Then great. Help, you know, try to help yourself get to that place. But if it's because of these other things that we've talked about, then I think it's worth examining, is this something that's truly important to me, or is this something that I feel obligated to do or to care about?
That is a key, so key what you're saying. It's like asking yourself those introspective questions of, like, does this matter most to me? You know, is this of a value system or a concern to me? And, you know, I feel like that's when you start, for me, that's when I started on my journey towards healing, towards, you know, bettering my wellness, is just starting to ask some of those deeper, more complex questions. Like, where is this coming from? Why am I feeling this way? You know, what's triggering me into this cycle or this thought, you know? So, I mean, let's talk a little bit about some of those common, like, phrases that we start to hear when we're feeling stressed or overwhelmed. You know, sometimes I know I really identify with saying, I felt like I was drowning. You know, I feel like I'm drowning. I feel like I'm so overwhelmed, or I literally feel like I need someone to pull me out of this water. Like, what are some of those phrases that you hear even in practice that are those concerning things, or those common things? You know, I feel like I'm losing myself, those type of things.
Yes. Both of those are so common. Especially when, let's say you're transitioning from not being a mother to then having your first.
Yeah.
Of course you can experience that down the line as well, but just that feeling that I'm not sure who I am. This person seems very different than what I'm used to.
Yep.
Maybe even feeling like I'm an actress in my own life. I've heard people say that it feels like I'm just kind of like here, but I'm not here.
Yep.
I'm putting this face on, and it's exhausting because it's completely different than how I really feel inside. I'm drowning. Yeah. You know, I need a lifeline. I feel like this is swallowing me up. Those are some of the more common ones that I've heard. The imagery that folks come up with is always really interesting to me, and sometimes poetic. I do remember when I first heard someone say that, it's like, I'm just an actress in my own life, and I'm like, wow.
That's deep. Yeah.
Right.
So we talked about a little bit about, you know, postpartum depression and or anxiety being in the first year, but what about beyond that? Like, what about if you're on your second or third kid, or, you know, you just never realized the signs of it and it goes unaddressed or it goes beyond that time period and season? What is that then called, or how do you deal with it then?
So technically, in terms of diagnoses, it would not be called postpartum depression, let's say, if it doesn't come about until your child is maybe 3 or 4, because it's after that first year. However, in terms of the way that it presents, I still look at it very similarly, only because it may have been there and you just didn't notice until now. So it's hard to say when the actual onset was, but now is when you're coming in. And so I still would look at treating it in very much of the same way.
Yeah.
And it may be that there are different stressors on your life. So let's say you were able to stay home maybe the first year, and now you're noticing that as you try to go back to work, or you try to wean from breastfeeding, maybe that you're starting to experience some of these symptoms more and more. So treatment to me does not change very much in terms of that. We may be focused less on some of the things like, you know, baby's feeding schedule, sleep schedule, some of the stuff that presents more when you're dealing with a newborn. Yeah. So your immediate stressors are different, but a lot of the symptoms are very similar.
Yeah.
Later on. And a lot of times they're more situationally based. There's some kind of a trigger that goes on, you know, maybe return to work, maybe like you mentioned, maybe a diagnosis that comes a little bit later on in life with your child, and that starts to trigger some things too.
Right, right.
The more that you're able to validate your experience and say, okay, I can understand why that was hard for you, or, you know, I hear you, that makes sense, or that, yeah, that sucks, that's hard. That's needed. But then also just knowing some of those more behavioral things, just like, you know, we talked about self-care, and that's kind of a buzzword in a good way. And that's something that, you know, more people are embracing that we need, but being aware that those things are helpful, being aware that exploring how my new role as a mom is different than maybe some of the roles I had before. And what do I miss about the old me, quote unquote, the old me, but what do I miss about before? What am I excited about now? Really just kind of incorporating both of those things into your narrative, because a lot of times we get stuck in black and white. Either I 100% love being a mom, or I don't. And it's not like that. There's such a spectrum where there are days where I absolutely may love it, or moments that are great. And then there are moments where it seems like everything's falling out of place today and I'm not really on top of it, and I just want to start back over. Yeah. And so, like, making room for both of those things, I think that learning more about it has helped me to do that in my own life, and to try and, as much as I can, like, put that message out there that, hey, there's two sides to it. Hey, there's a gradient here.
Yes.
So that we're not completely bad mouthing motherhood either. I mean, it's a wonderful thing.
Absolutely.
But if we only show one side of it either way, then we're doing a disservice, because that's just not how real life unfolds.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure that there's a gradient there. I think that there's needs to be way more conversation about that, you know, I know I used to think, like, I'm ruining my kids because one minute we're dancing in the kitchen and having fun, and then I'm like, you know, go sit down, you know, whatever. And just like that, you know, giving ourselves more self-compassion and grace, and you can always reassess and think about, okay, what can I do next time before I have to hit the point where I'm like, you know what I mean? Just completely lost it on them. Like, what are some things I can catch in the meantime? Or setting up healthy boundaries with your kids. Like, hey, okay, I'm noticing I'm getting, like, my heart's starting to speed up. I'm getting a lot more agitated. And I literally just tell them, like, mom's going to go take a quick 15-minute nap. You can set your timer. I'll be back, you know? And I just always have this perception, like, I don't want them to see me laying down, because then they're going to think, you know, either whether it's what my mom thinks or what my kids think, you know, all these perceptions are, I'm ruining them. Or if I'm not there, if I don't answer their beck and call, will I miss something? Or if I yell at them, will they be, you know, scarred for life? And we just carry just so much perfection, you know, sometimes within. And it's just like, you're going to have good days and bad days. It's going to be fluid, you know, and just giving, I think the more self-compassion we can show, the better off everyone will be for it, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. And the more that we're able to show up for them as humans who apologize when I said the wrong thing,
or
who kind of correct it with you and make sure you understand it, that we, they do not need us to be this perfect version of a mom. They need to, because they're not perfect. And so they need to understand, you know, that if I make a mistake, it's okay for me to do what mom does when she says, hey, let me talk to you about that. And, you know, this is where I could have done better. I'll do better next time. That helps them, and that helps them to understand. It sort of breaks that cycle of perfection that when I become a parent, I need to do it perfectly.
Right. Man, we covered so much goodness. I'm like, oh, we can keep going. Oh my gosh, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to unpack. But, you know, as we wrap, I really want to just leave those who are listening, you know, with some practical strategies. What are some things that moms listening can do today to start feeling better, to start getting back to feeling more like themselves?
Well, so on your own, I would say making sure that you are carving out time for yourself, making sure that even if it's maybe 5 minutes a day and you're doing something like a meditation app, or you're taking a short walk, or you're, we're a little more limited in what we can do right now, but just doing things that you enjoy, being able to do things like exercise, get your body moving a little bit. Those are, like, I would say, you know, relaxation strategies, breathing, focused breathing exercises. Maybe you've heard of like the box breathing, but doing some of those more like first level, first line things to help yourself. But then outside of that, if you are able to confide in someone else that you trust, to let them know and speak it out loud and say what it is that you're struggling with, that can also just in and of itself be a relief. Being able to trust someone enough to be vulnerable. Now, who knows? Maybe they've experienced something similar and that can be something you bonded over. Or maybe they're just able to be there and bear witness to what I'm going through. So I would say certainly that if you can and you are, you know, feeling well. So another thing too that's available, Postpartum Support International, they have online support groups that are free that you can sign into and go to weekly. And they have them for, I know they have them for perinatal mood disorders, but they also have for like military moms. They have a NICU moms group. They have a pregnancy and infant loss group as well. But they also have like a warm line where you can call them and they'll have someone call you back to talk to you and to help support you through that too.
Oh, yeah, definitely share that with me. And I'll make sure I include it in our, you know, notes here so our listeners can get it as well.
Yeah. Okay. I certainly will. And they have a lot of just education there. On my website as well, I have a little resource list that you can utilize if you need some extra support, or certainly if you live in Florida, you could always contact me or contact someone that's in your area to be able to start. If you can start therapy and you're wondering, I'm feeling like this isn't myself, do I really need help or not? A lot of practitioners will offer a free consultation just to give you a sense of, you know, is this something that I want to do or not? And so I would say, you know, exploring that as well is important. But let's say that you just want to do something right now. The first things we mentioned, certainly, but also centering inward on what are my values. We talked about that earlier. What's important to me? What kind of a mother do I want to be?
Right.
If nobody was looking at me at all and I didn't have to worry about the scrutiny from people I know or people I don't know, what kind of mom would I be? What type of things would I do? And then asking yourself as you're going through your day, is this consistent with my values? Is this consistent? So you're becoming a little bit more mindful of whether or not what's happening in your real life is matching up with your real values.
And that speaks to something that I have found to be the most helpful, is that those forms of mindfulness and self-care, being proactive so that the day doesn't get on top of you. Because what I would end up doing is that I'd have retroactive self-care where now I'm like completely at my bottom. I'm on E. I'm like negative E, right? And then now I'm going to get my nails done, or I'm going to take a walk, or, and that helps, but it only helps me get back to zero. That's how like I explained it to my husband. I was like, I feel like I'm like at negative 10, just trying to get back to zero, but I don't ever get to be above it, because again, I'm always just doing that from, I was always doing that prior from like a retroactive standpoint. So I like how you're saying like, hey, if you can get ahead of these things by making them like habitual part of your, you know, thinking about who do you want to become as a mother and then taking active steps into, you know, doing that, becoming that person or investing the time in yourself in that way, it will help you to stabilize so that you don't have those huge crashes and dips, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. That's so good. Okay, so we have to wrap, but please let everyone know where they can find you if they want to come and have, they're in Florida, or if you do teletherapy, all those things. Let them know where they can find you.
Okay, so I am at the Center for Maternal Mental Health in Wesley Chapel, Florida, which is right outside of Tampa. I do offer right now completely telehealth. Soon, hopefully, at some point, we'll move back into the office, but for the foreseeable future, I'm offering telehealth sessions, and that's for others who reside in Florida, since that's where I'm licensed. Mm-hmm. My website is www.cfmmh.com, and on Instagram, I'm at Dr. Angel Montfort.
Okay, that is perfect. And you guys, don't worry, I'm going to include all of her information right in the show notes for you, so that you can connect with her. Definitely go and find Dr. Montfort on Instagram and connect with her there. She's super cool and just has a wealth of knowledge to share, and just really sweet. I'm just very grateful for your presence and your knowledge and how approachable you are with your profession. So thank you for doing what you do for us moms.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure. It's been an absolute joy to be on here. And I look forward to connecting with anybody who's listening. So thank you just for allowing me to be here.
All right, y'all. That is a wrap. Thank you so much for listening. Listen, this episode was jam-packed with gems. Angel was hitting us over the head with knowledge upon knowledge, okay? So if this episode resonated with you, I want you to do one thing for me and one thing only. Share this with a friend. Share this with someone who's in a similar season. They're an expecting mom, or they're a new mom, as I said, or they're a mom of toddlers. Share this with them because I want them to know that they are not alone, okay? So let's be a community. Let's band together and encourage someone else in their journey. All right, you can go find Angel at Dr. Angel Montfort on Instagram. That is where she is, and I'll put that information for you in the show notes. Other than that, listen, I just want to encourage you to stay in the story. God is not finished yet, okay? Your story was never meant to be erased, so stay in that story. Love you, and I'll talk to you on the next episode. Peace.